church's one foundation, Jesus Christ, her Lord. One Lord, one faith, one birth, one holy name, she blessed. And then this one, I love thy church, O God. Taken from Psalm 26, David loved God's church. He said, Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. That's where this is taken from. I love her sweet communion, her hymns of love and praise. I love that hymn. Love it. Go with me now to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. The last line of the last verse says, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved, or would were expected to be, ordained to be saved. The Lord added to the church. Now, the message which Peter preached at Pentecost, which you heard Sunday, same message, wasn't it? The message is the message that God the Holy Spirit used then and uses now to save sinners. That's the message, the one and only message. And that's the message which he uses to add to the church. It's the message, and I never tire of saying this or hearing it. It's the message of a crucified, buried, risen, exalted, seated, enthroned, sovereign, successful, satisfied Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ is his name. That's the message that God uses. That is the message which all of the elect of God hear and believe and receive by God's grace, by his Spirit, and are added to the church. The church. That's what God used then and what God uses now. Nothing more is needed. And nothing less than Christ. The message of Christ. And the church then and the church now worships the same way. We worship the same Lord in the exact same way that they did 2,000 years ago. No different. Absolutely no different. We're going to see that in these verses. Look at verse 41. It says, then they that gladly received his word, that is, God's word through Peter. They, remember Paul one time thanked God that the Thessalonians received the word, not as the words of men, but as it was in truth. The word of the living God. And these people all received the word which came through Peter, the preached word. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And they received it through a man, but not as the words of a man, but as the words of God. Remember, that's what old Cornelius said when Peter was sent to preach to his household. He said, we're here to hear what God has commanded you. And they received the word of truth, the gospel of Christ. They received it. The word received is not accepted. I do not use that word. I do not like that word. It is not, number one, it's not in the Bible. Okay? The word receive means take fully in the same sense as embrace. Embrace. One of the old writers said, if you say, tell man to accept something, will you accept him? That implies that they have the ability to do so. So it's not in the Bible. But as many as received him, that is embrace, him and receive a gift bestowed. they are given the right, the power to become the sons of God. Receive Him. That means wholeheartedly embraced. Like the people in Hebrews 11, it says they embraced. They were persuaded of these things and embraced them. That means to lay hold of. It says they gladly received. Gladly received that gospel with great joy. They gladly received it. They were so glad to hear what they heard. Mercy for sinners. Grace, forgiveness of sin. Grace, a substitute, Christ, for them. They were so glad to hear that. And when they heard it, and Peter said, "The promise is unto you," they laid hold of the promise. They embraced Christ by faith. And it says, every one of them, they that gladly received His word, were baptized. See that? Baptized. The word itself implies being immersed in water. And it is a symbol of Christ being buried. Right? Being buried with Christ and raised. When you're baptized, someone buries you under the water as Christ was put under the earth. And then someone raises you out of the water. Baptism means immersed. And the Lord Jesus Christ said this to His disciples. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who instituted this baptism. He said, "Go into all the world and baptize." He said, "He that believeth and is baptized." Go into all the world and preach the gospel. "And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Now, this is not for infants. There were no infants in all God's Word who were so-called christened. That is not in the Bible. Okay? You know that. But some may not. Baptism was not for infants, but for those who believe. He that believeth and is baptized. It's not baptize infants and then later on they believe. No, he that believeth and is baptized. It's not believe another gospel and be baptized and then come to a knowledge of the doctrine of the grace. That's not it either. Believe Christ, the true Christ. He that believeth, there's a time when you didn't believe this gospel. And there's a time when you do it. That's the time to be baptized. Baptism. And, baptism is as much a renunciation of your past as a profession of faith in Christ. As we said Sunday, it's like they say, "Bury me and my past and everything about me, bury. And I want to rise to walk, be raised to walk in newness of life." I thought about all our brothers and sisters in Mexico. That is a Catholic country, isn't it? Every one of them who hears the gospel, the message, every one of them confesses Christ in believer's baptism. Now, every one of them was so-called christened as a baby. But every one of them who gladly receives the word of God are baptized. And glad they do it gladly. And you know, every one of them suffers persecution because of it. Many of them are literally cast out of their family, disowned, because they have denounced their, like Noah, remember when he prepared an ark, condemned the world. And when you go into that pool, you're condemning everyone and everything but Christ, those in Christ. So, it's as much a denunciation as it is a confession. And so it's the same with us. Baptism is a confession of Christ, the true Christ. There's but one. Baptism is a public identification with Christ and His people. And baptism doesn't wash away one sin, nor does it make one change in us. But it's this way. Peter said it's the answer of a good conscience. A good conscience. Christ said, "He that believeth and is baptized He said, "He that confesses me not before men, I'll deny." So this is the confession. This is the way we confess Christ before all, by saying, "This is the Christ I believe." Christ said, "Do it." A good conscience said, "I'll do it." Peter here and the apostles all said, "Be baptized. Repent and be baptized. Every one of you." And so 3,000 people said, "Okay, baptize me. I want to confess Christ." 3,000. Wouldn't you have liked to have been there and witnessed that? Is a baptismal service of great blessing to you? It really is, isn't it? Just when one person confesses Christ is a great, great blessing of the Lord. It's a privilege to be in on it. 3,000. Husbands, wives, mothers, fathers, sons, daughters, brothers, sisters, neighbors, fellow workmen. Nancy, can you imagine? Half of Rocky Mount. Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be something? We'll settle for one. Settle for one. What a blessing. Well, verse 42, it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine." Steadfastly. They continued. It means they kept doing what they started. They continued. Whatever they started, whatever they had begun doing right then and there. I was reminded of the children of the Exodus, where he said in chapter 12, "This is the first day. Today is the beginning for you. This is just the beginning. All things new. This is the very beginning for you." And so what they began right there doing some things. And what they began doing, the work that God began in them, they continued doing from then on. What was that? What you're doing right now. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They kept hearing the gospel. What was the apostles' doctrine? Well, what did John say? "If any man abide not in the doctrine of Christ..." That sums it up, doesn't it? The apostles' doctrine, the sum, the substance of their preaching. Paul said, "I'm determined not to know anything else but Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Every message pointed to Him. Faith in Him. Him. He is the Lord and Savior of His people. Every message pointed to them. So they kept preaching Christ and the people kept hearing. They continued. They held the beginning of their confidence steadfast. They continued steadfast. What was the apostles' doctrine? Listen to this. Paul wrote to Titus, "Speak the things which become sound doctrine." And they went on to talk about the doctrine which is according to godliness, which Christ, who died to redeem a people unto Himself, zealous of good works, and he goes on to say, "This doctrine, the grace of God that brings salvation, the doctrine of God our Savior, teaches us," and you know those verses, "to deny ungodliness," and so forth. The doctrine of Christ, the doctrine according to God, the whole counsel of God. Everything that was necessary for life and for godliness. That's what they preached. And the people heard it and received it gladly. And so they continued. Look on. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. That's close communion. Fellowship. What did John say our fellowship is? You know, I like to socialize as much as anybody. I like, you know, that. But what is this all about? The church is not just a social club where people get together and just socialize. But Paul, John said, our fellowship, the fellowship of believers, is with the Father and with His Son. It's the fellowship of the mystery, the fellowship of the gospel. We come to the table. This is the family. This is the supper where all the family sits at the table and partakes of one bread and one wine. And that's the gospel of Christ. That's what it says they did. They broke bread. Verse 42. Fellowship, breaking of bread. The Lord's table. They continued taking it. The Lord's table. The Lord's table is a very special thing. And it too is a commandment. You know that? Like baptism. The Lord only gave two ordinances for us to observe. The Lord's table and baptism. Baptism and the Lord's table in that order. Baptism and then the Lord's table. Well, it's a command. He said, this do in remembrance of me. I knew a man who was a member of this congregation for years. And when we used to have Sunday night services, sometimes we would have the Lord's table on Sunday night. You remember that? I just don't like to have it on Sunday morning because of visitors and so forth. I like to have it on, back then, Sunday night. Now, Wednesday night. And anyway, this man who attended here for a long time never would come on Sunday night or Wednesday night. He was never here. And he never, one time, partook of the Lord's table. That's serious. And Brother John, he's gone. I think you know who I'm talking about. He's gone. This is a command too. Breaking of bread. The Lord's table. This do in remembrance of me. But it's not his yoke is easy. It's a privilege, isn't it? Like baptism. Baptism is a privilege. How many of you, when somebody's baptized, want to stand up and say, let me do that again? Huh? The Lord's table, breaking of bread, is a great privilege and a special time for God's people to gather together in communion around the table. And prayers, it says. They continued in fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. This is what the church does. This is all the church does. Right? Prayer. What did our Lord say? He said, my house shall be called what? A house of prayer. House of worship. House of praise. House of prayers. That's it. House of prayer. And they prayed. Not out of a book, but from the heart. Prayer by the people. Verse 43, and fear came upon every soul. If you would ask me what best describes or what characteristic best describes a true God worshiper, I would say fear. If you'd ask me what best describes a true believer, a true worshiper of the living and true God, I would say fear. Fear came on every soul. Every single person was a God-fearing man, a God-fearing woman, a God-fearing young person. That means they reverenced. They trembled at His Word. They did not approach God in a careless, indifferent, flippant, or casual, or irreverent way. But fear tempered all that they did, all that they said, from the songs they sang. The preacher feared not preaching God's Word in its verity, in its truth. The whole council, it feared doing that. They feared not preaching Christ. They feared preaching work. They feared not pointing men to Christ. They feared. Paul said, woe is unto me if I preach not to God. Fear. Fear regulated all they said and did. They were fearful of using His name. Didn't want to use God's name in any way but a fearful way. They were fearful in everything they did. They feared sharing His glory. When someone got up to sing a special, they feared being in the flesh. You know what I mean? Some of you used to sing in a public way and before crowd. When the Lord put His fear in you, you came up here and here's how many people are in here right now? And yet you fear. You fear people looking at you. You fear sharing the glory. You fear. And so this fear fell on Paul. All that Peter wrote in his first epistle, he wrote to the people, he said in his first epistle, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. And you can tell. This is how you can tell the people of God. Not only by love, but fear. And read on. It says, and wonders and signs. Wonders and signs were done by the apostle. Now, there are no more apostles. And therefore, there are no more of these signs and wonders and miracles. Not in the same way. You know this. You know why that is. God gave these men, God gave them special powers to prove their calling. Nobody had one of these. If you sat in the congregation and I was Peter preaching to you, you did not have a Bible. How do you know what Peter is saying is from God? Peter says, God sent me. I'm one of His apostles. How do you know? Signs and wonders. That's how. God gave them these signs and wonders which no man had ever or could do. Impossible. So that people would say, these men are sent from God. And so we're listening to what they have to say. And there are no more of these powers in men now. No more. They're not needed. We don't need these things, do we? Why? We've got a book. We've got the Bible. And He shows us signs and wonders from this, doesn't He? And we have His book. However, we have seen signs and wonders from these very apostles. We've seen the blind see through the preaching of Peter. We've seen the deaf hear through the preaching of Paul. Haven't we? We've seen the dead raised through the preaching of Jude. Haven't we? Yeah, He's still doing signs and wonders through those men. This is what our Lord said to the apostles when He said, greater things than these will you do. Not greater in the sense that they're more wonderful, but in a broader way. 3,000 souls. Peter got up, preached one message, and 3,000 people. My, my. That's something. And we heard the same message. We were saved by the same preaching of Peter, weren't we, Sherry? We sure were. So, yes, we've seen signs and wonders. Verse 44. And all that believed were together. They forsook not the assembling of themselves together, as a matter of some is, but they were all together. That's what loving family members do, don't they? They're together. And they had all things common, it said. They believed they had all things common. In a spiritual sense and in a material sense, a literal sense. They had all things common. Literal sense, they said, here's what they all said. What's mine is yours. My house is your house. My car is your car. Right? What I have is yours. In a spiritual sense, they had all things common, didn't it? Common faith, John. And the common faith that was once delivered to the saints. It's delivered to all the saints. It's the faith of God's elect, isn't it? It's common. They all believe the same thing, don't they, John? One Lord, one faith. Huh? One Father, one God, one Father, one hope of their calling. Common faith. All who have this common faith go through common trials. If you have faith, it will be tried. Common trial. There hath no temptation or trial taking you but such as common to man. Common trial, common temptations, common comforts. Where did they all get their comfort? Same place. God of all comfort. Common likes, they all like the same thing. Do you know they all like the same exact food? They love this light bread. They all had the same dislikes, distaste for anything that doesn't have salt in it. You know what I mean? Distaste for anything that doesn't have Christ in it. Had a dislike for it. That's right. Same common faith, common trials, common temptations, common comfort, common likes, common dislike, common possession. In verse 45, it says they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all as every man had need. It's not saying, it did not say that they sold everything they owned and lived in a commune. It does not say that. It does not even imply that. All right? It says they parted to all what? As every man had need. If there was a need, somebody going without, then someone who had an abundance would sell it and give it to them who had need. Right? That's what that means. They sold and parted these things. I thought about this. This is real proof of love. You know, the love of money is the root of all evil, our Lord said. The love of money. Then what would be the willingness to part with money? If you were willing and just loved to part with it, what would that prove? If love is the root of all evil of money, what would be the opposite of that? Isn't that the root of goodness? Didn't Christ, who was rich, for our sake, did what? Came forth. Gave what? All. Gave it all. Gave himself. That's the proof. Good evidence. Love for his people, not money. It says they parted as had need. I've told you before, you know, many people come by the study here and asking for money all the time, all the time. And I almost always ask them the same things. I first ask them, do you attend a church anywhere? Do you think there's been one heathen ever show up at this? You think there's one person who's ever showed up here that didn't go to church somewhere? No. I've yet to find one. Oh, I'm a member down at so-and-so place. I said, you are. And I say to them, you mean to tell me you're a member of a local congregation, a church, and they're letting you go hungry? I say it says in the scriptures, God's seed will never be begging bread. There's never been one member in this congregation begging bread. If one member of this congregation ever has a need, we're going to meet it. Right? As every man has need. That's proof. That's proof. And I tell them all the same thing, too. I say, well, I tell you what. The thing you need more than anything else is to hear this gospel we preach here. As you come, sometimes they'll come on a Wednesday morning. I say, you come tonight. We're going to meet tonight. You come here and you hear this gospel. Silver and gold have I none. I might have a little bit. But I say, boy, what you need is to hear this. So you come tonight, and I guarantee you, when these people find out you have a need, they'll meet it. Have you ever seen anybody show up? No. Well, here in our text, it says if there was a need, anybody had a need, the people would meet it. They would meet it. How dwelleth the love? James said, how dwelleth the love of God in us? We see a brother have need, and we don't meet it. So they did. And verse 46, this is good. It says, they continuing daily with one accord. They continuing. There it is again. Continuing. The Lord said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. Didn't it? It's not how you start. It's not how you spring up like that grass that's stony ground. It's whether or not you wither away. If you continue, he said, you're my disciples indeed. if you lay hold, if you continue laying hold of this of Christ to the end, you must have loved it in the beginning. God must have begun that work in you in the beginning. If you die in this faith, laying hold to Christ, then God did He began a good work in you and He perfected it. Contentment. They continued daily. Hearing it, loving it, holding to it, walking. Paul wrote this: He will present us holy, unblameable, unreprovable in His sight if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away. How will we continue? Same way we began, by grace. Right? Well, keep yourselves in the love of God, he said, though. How's that? Continue to hear this gospel of grace. It's what will cause you to continue. Continuing daily, it said. Daily. It wasn't a part-time thing within. Christ was their life. Daily. They continuing daily with one accord. They were in harmony. They were in union. Is it unreasonable to expect believers to get along, not have fights and fusses and not be divisions and all of that? Is that unreasonable? Well, my. Why should they fuss and fight? They were with one accord. Huh? If you have all things common, if you have the common faith and common likes, common dislikes, and one accord and one faith, why should you fight? Shouldn't be one, should it? Have to be self, wouldn't it? Somebody being selfish. Well, they continued with one accord. They were in harmony and union, and they were in the temple. Look at this. They were in the temple. You know, God ordained that building. God ordained that building, that temple, didn't He? He told Solomon to build that building, and he did. It was a building. It was just a building. It wasn't a holy place. Just a building. Our Lord said, not one stone is going to be left standing on another. This is not the true temple. Nevertheless, it was a public place to meet, and though there was much bad going on there, there was, wasn't it? Later on, it became the abomination of desolation in that place. As it is now, all these so-called churches, places, aren't they? Abomination, desolate. Christ is not there. It's an abomination to God. Yet, God Almighty still ordains a place for God's people to meet, a local church, for His people to meet as a church called the church house. That's what I like to refer to this building as. I've begun to train myself to say, I'm going to the church house. The church house. And it's called, where God's people meet, the house of God, a public meeting place. And it's still a place where we go, in spite of all the abuse, in spite of all the misuse, in spite of all the things that go on, we still unashamedly, unabashedly say, I'm going to the church house. I'm going to God's house on the Lord's day, to God's house with God's people. That's where we worship God. I'm not ashamed of it. Well, these people did too. Went to the temple. Even the Lord went there. In spite of all that went on there, He went. So that's a good thing. And it says that breaking bread from house to house, they got together in each other's home. They invited one another over for dinner and fellowship. And they ate, it says, their bread, their meat with gladness. Gladness. Saints were glad. Singleness of heart. Saints are a people filled with gladness, aren't they? Remember this? The lions have fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. The Lord is at my right hand, and I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad. Glad. I was glad, David said, when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Well, I'd just be glad too, David. They that fear thee, David said, will be glad when they see me. Oh, I'm glad to see you, David. Glad to see you, John Shusley. Glad to see you, Henry Soren. Glad. In this glad hour. Gladness. They did it gladly. Thankfully. Gratefully. And singleness of heart. What did they all have on their hearts? What was all of their one desire? When they met together, when they all gathered together, what was the one thing that they all desired for singleness of heart? Here it is. One thing have I desired of the Lord. That's what I'm going to do, David said. That will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. He's not just talking about the spiritual one. He had a life to live down here, didn't he? Where did he want to be? In the house of the Lord with God's people. And in the end, be in his eternal house. All the days of my life here and all the days of my eternal life there. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Glad. And singleness of heart. One desire. Praising God. What did they do? Why did they meet? What was that all about? Praising God. Everything they did was to the praise of the glory of His grace. When we get that new sign up out here, that's going on it. Ephesians 1:6. To the praise of the glory of His grace. That sums up why we were saved. That sums up what we do here and our purpose for existing. Meeting. To the praise of the glory of His grace. Praising God. And having favor with all the people. Y'all are my favorites. You know that? I favor you. Sandy, I favor you. You're my favorite. One of my favorites. One of my favorites. Got a bunch of them. You're one of my best friends. Favor. God favors His people, doesn't He? He favored us. In His sovereign electing grace, we favor one another and the Egyptians. Just like the Israelites of old, there is a favor which God shows His people in the eyes of the Egyptians. My, my, that's amazing, isn't it? They hate you, yet you find favor. Explain that. Anyway, he says, and the Lord added to the church. You know what the Lord adds? Can't be removed. What the Lord adds can't be taken away. Whom the Lord begins a good work in, it will be perfected. It will be finished. If the Lord makes you one of His family, boy, this is good news. You can't be unfamilied. You can't be forsaken. He said, I give unto them eternal life. This is what we believe, and this is our hope. That once in the love and grace and mercy of God in Christ, always in the love and mercy and grace of God. And I don't apologize for that. That gives God all the glory. Whoever the Lord adds to the church, oh, they may drop off. They, you know, that's prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Every one of us would, you know, have a falling out at one. If you haven't yet, you will. And it's generally our own fault, but He'll bring you back. Added to the church daily, such as should be saved. What do you mean should be saved? Well, it doesn't mean deserve to be saved. As many as were ordained to eternal life. Is that Acts 13:48? As many as were ordained to eternal life, believed, received, were baptized, continued, steadfast, had all things common, worshiped together, fellowship together, and all continue. Such as should be saved, the elect of God. Oh boy, they're kept by the power of God unto salvation, ready to be revealed. Okay, stand with me. Our Lord, thank you so much for this word that gives us great hope, great comfort. Thank you for preaching the gospel to us, letting us hear the Master's voice, the Shepherd's voice, and the gospel of our salvation. Thank you, Lord. And thank you for putting us in your body. I ask that you would sustain us, restrain us, constrain us, provide for us, keep us. By your grace, Lord, we depend completely, 100% upon your grace. We know that thou art faithful, and this is our hope. Thou art our hope. Lord, keep thy fear, unite our hearts to fear thee, to love one another, to love this gospel, and continue in it. Thank you for these people. Ask your blessings upon them. Again, we ask for your healing hand on our brother and your comfort for our sister. Thank you for this blessed and glad hour that you've given us tonight. Let not the fowl of the air take it away or the thorns choke it out. Let it fall on good ground, the heart that you've prepared. It's in Christ we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.